It was a barnyard conversation a chicken and a pig were having, and they were just talking about the world and how they enjoyed some of the things that they did there on the farm. And the chicken turned to the pig and said, you know, one of the best things about my life and what it's so great about being alive is that we can contribute to the happiness of humans. You know, we can give them a hearty breakfast every day. Isn't it a wonderful thing? And the pig said, well, that's great for you. All you do is give a few eggs. I have to give up my life. Not particularly funny, because there is some truth about giving up. And Lent is a time of year when people think about, what do I give up? What do I sacrifice? How can I develop maybe a more authentic spiritual journey, spiritual discipline? Because remember, the goal is to draw close to God. We have this saying around the church, it's on our letterhead, and we print it every opportunity we get, that we are connecting people to God. It's about as simple a motto as there can be for a church. I mean, and we actually talk about this. The session had a wonderful session meeting this week. We have a great bunch of elders that really dedicate themselves to doing good work. But the question comes up over and over again in lots of different ways. Does this connect people to God? Because frankly, if it doesn't, we probably should stop doing it. But if it does, we should do lots more of it. Does it connect people to God? And during the season of Lent, that's really our goal, is to help you to connect to God so that by the time Easter Sunday comes around, the celebration of what it means to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ is very, very palpable for you, very real. It's not something that you remember when you were a kid and you would dress up and all of that kind of thing and go to church, but it's real in the sense that you can embrace it. You're so close to God that it's just a matter of a little bit of reaching out. So Lent has begun. It actually began on Wednesday, on Ash Wednesday. And the mood of Lent is generally pretty quiet and pretty reflective. The season has a message of sacrifice and giving up. And the final words just seem to come at us, to challenge us in this journey. But there are a lot of people who are not ready to experience Lent. A little girl and her older brother were wrestling in the playroom, and it just started off pretty nice. It wasn't any big deal. And how many of you have brothers or sisters you used to wrestle with? Yeah, my older brother's 1 year older than me. We still do it. Our wives are like, oh gosh, ugh, let's go. Anyway, but this little boy and little girl, they were wrestling, and it started out fine, you know, a little pushing, a little shoving, a little rolling around. And then eventually it got a little more serious, and mom was in the kitchen when she heard her son scream, "She bit me! She bit me!" Now she comes running in, she says, "What happened?" And he points at his sister and says, "She bit me right here on the leg." And the girl says, "I didn't do it." I didn't do it. Her mom says, "Well, why would you tell a story? Obviously, you did it." "I didn't. I didn't do it. I didn't do it." And he's upset. "She did. She did. I didn't do it." Well, the parents wanting to help her with this, they're kind of showing her, you know, "Okay, well, honey, it's all right to tell. If you did something and you're sorry for it, you just need to say, 'I'm sorry for it.'" And, you know, you parents, you know how you go through all of that. But not this little girl. She was not going to give in. "I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I didn't do it." Finally, got the boy to pull up his shorts and showed her the teeth marks in his thigh. "Honey, this, you did this. You did this." She says, "I didn't do it. He bit himself." Okay, well, mom was pretty smart. She said, "Show me how he can bite himself." So she got on the ground, and she's trying to bite herself. And she's rolling around and rolling around and rolling around trying to bite herself. Even after repeated failures, she still maintained that she did nothing wrong and refused to repent. Unfortunately, there are so many people who are just like that little girl. Regardless of the evidence, they deny that they have transgressed against anybody. They defend their own innocence. And rather than admit that they were wrong, they try to redefine reality to defend their offense against others. One day as Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem, one of the people responded to his teaching asking, "Lord, will only a few be saved?" And Jesus says, "Go through the door while it's open, for the time will come when the owner of the house will shut the door. Then people will stand outside and bang on the door and say, 'Let us in, for we ate and drank with you.' But the owner will say, 'I don't know you. Go away.' In that day there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets of the kingdom, and you are on the outside. Of course, you know, he really wasn't talking so much to us as he was talking to the Pharisees. And guess what? They got it. Oh, boy, did they get it. They show up after they've heard about all of this, and they thought Jesus was talking about them. And within the hour, they caught up with him, and they did what that really, trying to be sly instead of attacking Jesus. Excuse me. They acted like they were his friend, Jesus. We hear that Herod wants to kill you. You better get out of town. It's a little veiled threat that's in there. They were sly, but Jesus was much more aware than they were prepared for. And he said, give that fox a message for me, as if the Pharisees were on speaking terms with Herod. But before they could protest, he continued, I am busy casting out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I am finishing my work. But that doesn't matter because I'm going to Jerusalem, because no prophet worth his weight in salt can be killed outside of Jerusalem. And he utters one of the most poignant laments in the entire Bible. He reflects on that great city. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. You know what he's talking about, right? The religious Jews of his time, the religious people, his people. He said these words knowing full well what was coming for him. He knew that death was only a matter of time, that rejection and betrayal would result in his crucifixion. He knew what was coming, and it was just days before it would all occur. And he gives us this beautiful image of a hen gathering her chicks under her wings. It's as if he could find no more powerful image of love than a mother protecting her young. For it's one thing to live for your children. It is another thing entirely to die for your children. On the coast of Ireland, there's a 400-year-old wreck of the Girona, one of the ships of the Spanish Armada. One of the treasures that was found in the ship was a ring that had been given by a Spanish girl to her fiancé as he set off with the Armada. He would never return. His body would be lost to the ocean. Yet the gold ring spoke a message of love. It's carved on it, in a hand holding a heart and an inscription in old Spanish that says, No tengo más que darte, which means, I have nothing more to give you. From the heart of God, Jesus held nothing back. He loved us even to his own death. During Lent, we recall that Jesus did this for us. His voice rings through history. I gave my life for you. That's what he gave up for us that first Lent 2,000 years ago. So the question is, what are you going to give up for Lent? When I was growing up in Miami, I was a Roman Catholic boy, so we never ate meat on Friday, which is okay. I like fish. So every Friday, we would do other things. It was never going to be red meat. Oh, we might have cheese pizza or spaghetti or my very favorite red Florida snapper, which back then you could actually buy without mortgaging your house. It was really great. Yeah. Problem was, I was told this was a big sacrifice. I wasn't sacrificing anything. I love that stuff. It was great. Thanks, Mom. Appreciate it. She never quite got me to understand that it's a matter of devotion, not just sacrifice. There's something devotional, because sacrifice wasn't working for me. Oswald Chambers once wrote about sacrifice. He says that it means giving up something that we mind giving up. If you give up what you do not need, you aren't giving up anything. No, I mean, I don't mind giving up Velveeta cheese. Yeah, my friends and others here at church know that I will eat literally anything. I mean, I'm the only person, Deborah said, I've ever met that will see something on the table, reach out, grab it, eat it, and say, I wonder what that was. She needs to know what every single thing. Yeah. But Velveeta cheese is not food. Don't bring it. I don't care. It's gross. It's disgusting. Won't touch it. I won't do it. And I'm not giving that up. There's lots of other things that people don't like. Some people don't like bologna, so they'll give that up. But does that sound like if it's cynical? Yeah, maybe it does. Because not too many of us hang on to what we want and give up what we don't want. It's like Marge Simpson praying when Homer got into trouble at the plant. She said, I promise to be a good Christian. I won't just give pumpkin pie filling and lima beans when they ask for canned food for the needy. Yeah, because see, a sacrifice is giving up something valuable in some way. It's a way of showing how seriously committed you are to the Lord. If we don't want to give it up, it's a good candidate to be sacrificed for God. Jesus, of course, sees the pattern and sets the pattern when he prayed in Gethsemane, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. When we sacrifice something for God, we are sacrificing a part of ourselves. Boarding the SS Dorchester on a dreary winter day in 1943, 903 troops and four chaplains, including Moody alumnus George Fox, World War II, was in full swing. The ship was headed towards the icy North Atlantic, and a German U-boat was there. At 12 in the morning on February 3rd, a torpedo ripped into the side of the ship. She's going down! Everybody was crying and scrambling for lifeboats, and a young GI crept up to one of the chaplains. I've lost my life jacket, he said. Take this, the chaplain said, and handed him his jacket. Before the ship sank, each of the chaplains gave their life jackets to another man. And these heroic chaplains then linked arms and lifted their voice in prayer as the Dorchester went down. Lieutenant Fox and his fellow pastors were awarded posthumously the Distinguished Service Cross. You see, when we sacrifice something for God, we sacrifice ourselves. We are saying, nothing is more important than my relationship with the Lord. I want my whole life to be a sacrifice for Jesus. And if there's anything in my life that rivals my relationship with Jesus, I want to give it up. Søren Kierkegaard, in a book, and I looked around and nobody was laughing, wrote this. He said, I went into church and sat on the velvet pews. I watched as the sun was shining through the stained glass windows. The minister, dressed in a velvet robe, opened the golden gilded Bible, marked it with a silver bookmark, and said, if any man will be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, sell what he has, and give it to the poor, and follow me. Remember, the title of the article was, I looked around and nobody was laughing. Yeah. I invite you to consider something, though. Consider something that you need to give up this Lent. Maybe it's a sin that you really don't enjoy. Maybe you need to give up your anger. Maybe you're holding on to a grudge against somebody. Are you burdened by something from the past? Is your life frozen by your longing for the way that things never were? Do you need control over everyone and everything in your life? How would you feel if Jesus interrupted one of your conversations with a close friend and said, so what were you saying about my other friends? What were you saying about my other children? Are your feelings and needs and concerns more important than what's right and best and positive? What is it that retards your relationship with God and with people? What is that that prevents you from feeling you are forgiven and an eternally saved child of God? In the Tales of a Magic Monastery, Theophany, the monk, recalled that when he gave up, he said, I just have one desire. He said, to give myself completely to God. So I headed over to the monastery, and an old monk asked me, what do you want? And I said, I just want to give myself to God. And I expected him to be gentle and fatherly. But he shouted at me, now! And I was stunned. And he shouted again, now! I couldn't believe it. And he reached for a club and he came after me. And I turned and I ran and he kept coming. And he kept brandishing that club and shouting, do it! Do it now! Do it now! That was years ago, he said. And he still follows me. Wherever I go, always that stick. Now! Do it! Now! So what are you going to give it up? What are you going to give up for Lent? Now! And if you can't seem to let go of something which you must be sacrificed to strengthen your relationship with God, then maybe these words will loosen your grip. Those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Yeah, give up something. Now, the other side of that coin is take something new on. I like that. That's an aspect of Lent that I really love, you know, because I can embrace something that I enjoy and that I can do for others and somehow find a way to make this work in a very positive. So don't take up something like gambling. I mean, that may make you happy, but, you know, and for the men's group and the choir here, no more drinking on, you know, it is just kind of, you know, hold back a little. No, you know what I'm saying, though, is to take on something that helps build you and move you towards God, something that allows you to connect. It might be something as simple as every day I'm going to listen to some good music. Every day I'm going to be kind to somebody. Every day I'm going to hold my tongue with my family. Whatever it may be, the goal is still the same. Give up or take on, move closer to God. Connect with God. We are on a journey as a church. It's more than just a place that is in Palestine. It's a journey to Jerusalem. It's a destination. And Jesus was headed there, and throughout the entire season of Lent, we will go step by step with Him. He knew it was going to change the world, and we know it too. So give up something for Lent is a prelude. Taking something on is a part of that, because all of it leads to eternity. Let us pray. Our Father, there are so many opportunities every day for us to do things a little differently. And in this season of Lent, this journey that we are on, it is now an opportunity for us to either get rid of or take on something with the goal in mind of drawing closer to You every single day, every day. And as we gather together in this place for worship each Sunday, it is an experience of Easter over and over again, an experience that fills us with joy. For this is a joyful journey. Go with us. Lead us, help us. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who goes before us and yet follows along beside us as well. Amen.